Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Network, celebrating our third year on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Thank you for helping us become a number one rated live show with over 1 million global listeners. Our team is on a mission to help you discover your authentic best self and bring it to the world. And now, here's our show.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for listening to the Best Ever You Show. I'm your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, and I'm the founder of the Best Ever You Network, which is at besteveryou.com. And then I also have a new website out there. It's elizabethgarino.com. Garino is G-U-A-R-I-N-O. So elizabethgarino.com is out there now, too. So I thank you so much for listening to us today, and we've got a wonderful guest with us for probably the full hour, I think, we'll go. If Robert can hang on with us for that long, I didn't check his time. But we have Robert Sharp with us, and he's the founder and host and producer of Bringing Inspiration to Earth, and that's a radio show on Blog Talk Radio as well. The website is biteradio.me, and he's also the author of Joy Potential, Where You Least Expect It. Also, you've got a couple. Well, let me just welcome you, and you can tell us all about your books. How are you today? How are you today, Robert?
Good
I won't
day,
go through
Elizabeth.
The whole thing.
Good day, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the chance to talk with you again.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me on your show, and I'm so sorry that it took so long to get you on mine, but as I say to some of my guests here in the fall and as we kick into the winter, I don't usually do too many radio shows in the summer because my we have four young men, but the younger two play baseball, and one of them plays baseball over the country. So we're running around, and there's just, you know, just that you know, that push and pull where you're like, should I be outside or on the radio? I don't know. So, yeah.
Family wins out, as it should. Yeah. So.
Yeah, so of all the things that you do, I'm just curious, what's the latest thing that you have going on? Is it a photo book? Sounds like you have a new book out.
Yes. I had the latest thing that I've published is it's a photo book. It's like a glossy coffee table type book. I'm an amateur photographer, and I just love nature. And what I did is I took some of my most popular nature photos and added some messages, you know, kind of like what nature tries to teach us in you know, each of the, whatever it shows us, be it an animal, plant, or just landscape, and just added some inspirational thoughts to that. And so that's my latest publication. I really like that. You know, to me, it's, you know, nature is just so wonderful, and if we just kind of listen to what she has to say, it can make our life much, much better.
You know, you and I, the last time we talked about we had a lot of similarities between us, especially in our past careers. We did a lot of financial things and all the good stuff, the corporate trainer mode. It's a lot different than writing a photo book or, you know, than producing a photo book. What made you shift gears?
It is, yeah. And I was kind of taken back, too, by our common history. But, you know, that's what's what, you know, each thing that we do kind of just contributes to what we do later in life. And I'm sure yours has, you know, been very beneficial for your radio show and what you've done with your guests and that kind of thing. And as far as the books, I'm really kind of just follow guidance. You know, my first book, Joy Potential, was one that was completely guided inspirationally every day. I mean, it was one where one day I was walking and the whole plot idea came to me. And then each day I would walk and then kind of being shown what to write next. And I would run back to the office and break out the computer and start typing. And I truly didn't know what was going to come next until I walked. I mean, it was just the oddest thing, you know, that happened. Mm-hmm. But I kind of joke, I think that was my guys just trying to get me to exercise and to work for it in a way.
That's funny. Maybe I'll try that. next book well, you're going to walk for
well,
it.
Well, it worked. You know, I mean, it was. It really got me into the habit, and it was funny. On days when it was raining or just too cold, and I didn't do my morning walk, I would sit down and just wouldn't come. So that particular book was, it was one of those things that really kind of got me into the writing mode, and then the second one, It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites. That one is a kind of a conglomeration of different things that I've learned from guests throughout the years, and various topics. And the one thing that over the years that I've recognized is that by reading so many self-help books or people who have survived struggle and kind of came out stronger, each person and each book has really taught me something. It's like every guest too. You always learn something. And what I did is I kind of put together about 13 different topics for people to learn about. I in the book I have, particularly in the ebook version, I have hyperlinks in the book to shows. I mentioned this is what I learned from Mary Domé, about awareness, and here's a link to Mary's show, and here's a link to Mary's book, and here's a link to Mary's webpage. So, and this is what I learned from her, and this is what I do now that makes my life better because of what I've learned. So that was kind of and I really wanted to get it out there because I was doing things better, with each guest. So I wanted to have other people to kind of have that opportunity without having to go through and read all the books, but be able to at least get the learning points and actions that they can take. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. Keep going.
I was just going to say, and then the Nature's Inspiration was one that just, I had kind of gathered enough pictures, and I happened to notice, I used Lulu as a self-publisher, and I happened to notice that they had a photo book option, and I just went ahead and did it, just plugged it in and sat down and said, okay, what do I want to say about the snake or the heron, so that's kind of how that all came about.
Yeah, I used Lulu for my book before my Hay House one for a children's book called Pinky Doodlebug, and we'll do a little Lulu plug here. I can't tell you how wonderful they are. They were so supportive. They even blogged about the book and everything. So for everybody listening out there who wants to create a book, Lulu is easy, isn't it?
It is. I find it, because it once you publish there, you can go through all kinds of platforms, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everybody all at once. And then also, particularly with the book with Spirituality Bites with all the hyperlinks, it also allows me that if, one of the links no longer is operating, I can quickly go in and update the book and, make it current really without any hassle. And then from that point on, people who purchase it will have the updated version. So it's just so streamlined. I like that aspect.
Yeah, it's easy. The one thing I notice in your voice and through your work and through everything that you do is it's not with an intention of, this is it. This is going to make me famous. This is going to make me a millionaire. This is going to do this and this is going to do that. Why? What's your why? Why do you do what you do?
Oh, good question. Yes, and if I were to have that expectation or the hope that it would, make me a gazillionaire, I would be disappointed, because the fact is that, people who, start out and publish their first book and that kind of thing, it doesn't always have that, immediate financial reward. And
really?
Why I
didn't notice.
Well, I thought Percolate would be up there, though. So, but the one thing that I tell also other people who want to publish books and really want to get the story down is it's really important to just express what it is that you want, to get it out there, and even you know, I mean, it sounds cliche, but even if you help just one person, you know, kind of live life better, you know, that it really creates a ripple, and it makes the effort worthwhile, you know, as opposed to just the idea of, you know, what am I going to get out for it? It's more of an outward expression. What can I do for others?
Yep. And speaking of what can you do for others, you've got this awesome radio show. You've been doing a radio show. Has it always been on Blog Talk Radio?
Yes. I did have some experience broadcast before that, but my own show, yeah, it's always been on Blog Talk.
Yeah, mine too. And so you did yours in 2010. And your show, which also has a website that goes, everything you do has this website, BITERadio.me. Just so I spell that out so people can go there if you want to while we're listening or whatever. And that's also your Twitter handle, right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to your show, it's always this positive show. It's enlightening. It's entertaining. It's not that kind of gotcha radio where you've got a guest on and you want to ask them something, you know, so horrible about their past or something like that. It's a wonderful, uplifting show. What made you start a radio show?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. I had some background being a support person for a friend who had a broadcast radio show, and I was doing the marketing and the production and commercials and all that kind of thing. I never really saw myself as being a host. I didn't really know what I would talk about, and that went for, you know, for a few years. And then, you know, the idea of, you know, possibly doing one, and actually even I thought, before I even do my own show, I thought it would be great to have a bunch of other hosts in a network, you know, of shows where I could provide the support, which is what I, you know, was accustomed to. But and the main reason I didn't want to do my own show is because I hated the sound of my voice. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, really?
Who would? Oh, yeah. It's like, who would want to listen
about
to you?
I gotten to the point where I don't care. It's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Should we put on a radio voices? And now.
Really?
Don't you think, like, to do... I always thought, like, to do radio, you know, it had to be full of that, you know, fake voice of la la la, you know, that authoritative kind of thing, and I just have decided, I'm good.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And when the domain carrier that I use came up with the .me extension, I thought, you know, many years ago I told someone what I did, and their, as far as activities, and their comment to me was that they felt that my life purpose was bringing inspiration to Earth, you know, bringing things from the etherical and the conceptual into reality, you know, kind of creating business plans, you know, marketing plans. And so anyway, and that was probably 8 or 9 years before I even started the show. And so when it all became available, I thought, okay, bringing the inspiration to Earth is good. And, you know, then there was that self-judging that I finally said, get out of your way, you know, don't listen to yourself, just do it. If it works, great. If it doesn't, then no problem. Yeah.
What was your first show like, where you're like, I'm talking to air and no one? That's not the way mine went. How about you?
Yeah. Well, I had a guest on, you know, and even to this day, I'm best with a guest. I'm not the kind of person who, or it's just not my skill set yet to be able to just ramble on about a topic. You know, it's just, yeah. Well, you know, and some people are great at it. I mean, they can just, you know, lay it out there. But I'm just best interactive. And, you know, when I've done my annual anniversary shows, I, you know, don't have a guest in, and that's one of those where I do my rambling, and I just laugh. It's like, oh, God, here we go again.
Funny. Yeah, I did a show. My son, who, I don't know, he must have been 11 at the time, he said, Mom, you need a headset, and we need to fix this up and do all this stuff. And so I called it the technical fix show or something like that. And as we were on air, because there's no way to not be actually on air to test things out and stuff like that at the time, people started calling in. And so I'm like, oh, no. So now you're like, people are calling in. Should we answer it? So we answered it, and it turned into this gratitude show. I said, well, you know, if we're going to call in, just tell me what you're grateful for. And so we've turned that show into Good Morning Gratitude. But it's that same anxiety where you get on the air kind of by yourself, and I do them every Thanksgiving, and I'm like, if nobody calls in, I'm going to look like the biggest moron ever. Sitting here like, do-do-do-do-do, talking. But, you know, you got to keep the faith on those things where, yeah. You know, you hope people will call in or whatever. Maybe you want to co-host that with me this year. We'll do our little
that'd
good morning
great.
Show.
That would be great.
I'll do that.
I'd love that. I think that would be fun.
All right. Yeah, because every year I randomly ask somebody to co-host the show with me. And then we together randomly ask people to call in so you can be in the hot seat with me.
Great, yes.
It's
yes.
So
see, now, as long as I have a co-host, I'm good.
Yeah, me too. You can talk about anything. But I usually do that right around Thanksgiving in the morning or something like that because it's Good Morning Gratitude. But so that's really cool. Yeah, I hear you on the whole guest thing. Who's your favorite guest that you've had on? Or a couple
Whoa.
Of them. Like, what are shows? Yeah, you've done 700 shows, so narrow it down.
Yeah. Really? Boy. I would say probably one of my, let's say, as far as the, I'll name a few. As far as the,
yeah.
my all-time favorite was when I had Russell Targ on. He's the guy, he's a physicist who wrote the book, The Reality of ESP, a physicist. Something, but anyway, he was fascinating. You know, he started this Stanford ESP site up at Stanford University. Had a very scientific approach to looking at ESP and precognitive types of experiences. And anyway, I like that. I really enjoyed his perspective. Also, you know, he had dealings with the CIA and all that kind of thing when they, you know, were interested in that. And so he was probably in that realm, one of my most interesting. Now, I do also have environmental shows, which I started a few years back. And my favorite guest in that one was a gentleman named Captain Charles Moore. And he was a gentleman who, back in the, I believe it was the late 90s, discovered the Pacific, the Great Pacific Garbage Dump. You know, it's the,
oh, yeah.
It's where the gyres Rap. All come together. Yeah, with all that. He was fascinating, huh. You know, and his work with, you know, helping, you know, rid the oceans of plastic. I really enjoyed him. And I would say probably in the, I have a children's corner part, and probably the most interesting children's corner was actually the first woman that I had on the show. Her name was Pat David, and she wrote a book called Hugs, and it was really about a support book for children with cancer. And when I read her book, there were things in her book that were educational, you know, for children, but there were things that I didn't know about cancer. And what happened is shortly after she was on the show, I had a couple friends who were diagnosed with cancer, and just them talking to me about their treatment, I was able to understand exactly what they were talking about because of her book. So, you know, that was really great.
That's really interesting. So your shows, self-help, spirituality, children's corner, and environmental awareness. Tell me why you picked those four areas.
Well, I started with the spirituality aspect because that's kind of where I had contacts and that kind of aspect. And I still have that interest in, you know, in the metaphysical realm, that kind of thing, or in the spiritual in the sense of, you know, people who have struggled and survived. I've had quite a few people on to talk about cancer, and I still do, and I always will continue to have that because every time we talk about it, I think that it's important. It raises awareness. And you know, and Alzheimer's, I've had some on that. And then the self-help aspect, it was all the whole kind of common thread is inspiration. Anybody who can provide inspiration, and the self-help came in when it, you know, came to talking about goals and just different ways of improving. A lot of that I kind of did it for myself. I mean, there were many times it's like, well, I really want to learn about this, you know, and this person can help me, so I'm going to go ahead and do the show, even if no one listens, that's fine. I'm going to go ahead and the children's and the environmental came as a result of one day one of my neighbors who knew about Joy Potential that I'd written that showed me a clipping from a newspaper that talked about a local author group, networking group that kind of got together and thought that I might want to go and join them. Well, that was on a Sunday, and a Tuesday was the meeting, and my thought was, while I was walking, it's like, oh yeah, that meeting's today. Should I go? Should I not go? And I was kind of really ambivalent about going, but I thought, well, let me go ahead. What the heck? And so I went there, and I went there, and there were only a few people there. I mean, like maybe half a dozen people. So my first initial reaction was like, ugh, this is going to be a waste of time. But in that meeting is when I met three women, all who had written children's books that I thought were inspirational. And then I thought, okay, you know, this is what I'm being shown. I need to maybe do, you know, a children's corner. And then one of them in particular wrote a book, Sully Saves the Seas, and it's about a seagull that, you know, does the pollution, and she's very environmentally active. And so anyway, her enthusiasm got me to recognize that, you know, environmental awareness is also really important as well.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love hearing the why behind why people do, you know, just the, mm-hmm. the real yeah. why between what motivates people to do what they do. Because there's always a reason, and it's always you met somebody or saw something. Or do you think you'll add other areas to your show as you go on, or are you going to focus on those four things?
Well, you never know. You never know. Yeah. Right at the moment, I don't see any additional categories of it, but I don't know. I mean, you know, right now I get a really nice, healthy response to bookings. So, you know, and I usually do three shows a week now. So, but you know, again, you just never know. I'm always open to it. It's always a possibility.
Now, the one thing I notice about you, and correct me if I'm super way off here, you don't seem very political. Are you political in the background? tell me if I'm on or off there.
You're on. You're right on. Okay. Yes, I do the old avoid politics and religion. you know, it's not because I'm not political or not, you know, have anything against religious shows or religion. It's just that those two areas, you know, are very. Can be very controversial. And as you mentioned, you know, early on, I'm not the kind, I like to have a positive environment, and I'm not one that will, you know, do the gotchas or try and create controversy. To me, there's just enough of that going on, and I don't need to stir it up any.
Yeah, you know, I noticed on Facebook in particular lately, I have a real hard time going through the, you know, the home feed where everybody's posts are, because they're turning ranting. A lot of people are ranting about this and that and politics mm-hmm. and all this stuff, and I'm kind of the same way. I think it divides your audience. Totally and completely when you put something controversial on. A lot of people will do that just to get the likes and just to get people talking and not care what uh-huh. people say and not care who they offend and all this stuff. And, yeah, I steer clear also. I think I'm with you where it's like, you know, that's true to me. I could post something horrendous
right.
and, you know, have
mm-hmm.
something, have it go yeah. crazy. But I just really choose to, I'd rather be less popular, I think, or less controversial or whatever the words are for that than out there doing that. I think it's negative. I think it's like negative energy.
Yeah, it is, you know. Yeah, and it's kind of like, what kind of environment, you know, the whole idea is if you are a result of those who you interact with and your conversations and your thoughts and that kind of thing. It's like, okay, who do you want to be? do you want to be a gathering of negativity, a focal point of negativity, or do you want to be a focal point for positivity and cooperation and uplifting? So it's choices.
Yeah, that's a good word for it, is choices. Now, how'd you get interested in photography? Because we share that love, too. I sometimes hesitate to post my photos that I take. I'm like, oh. But, I'm happy with them. And so when I post it, I'm like, well, I like that. And hopefully maybe, another person in the world might, too. And sometimes I get real surprised, and other times it's crickets. But what made you do that? Because that can be really putting yourself out there when you go take pictures and post them and all this stuff.
It's interesting. I as far as photography, I had that in college. I had one of the, photography class, the dark room, and
can I interrupt you for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
So did I. Only Martha Garcia, I'm mentioning you on air. We were the girls who needed help developing that film. That's, I'm old. So, oh, my God, I've never destroyed so many rolls of film in my life in a dark room. Oh, I'm so thankful for digital cameras. Thank you.
Oh, I know.
Anyway, keep going. Yeah.
No, so you could develop the film. That was a whole different world back then, Yeah, and thank God for digital. So for many years that was on the back burner. I never really and until a few years ago and got a new camera and really just started noticing a lot of nature, and really getting some of those messages that I mentioned, while I was taking pictures. And to me, I liked it. I liked that idea of, seeing the graceful heron, thinking, oh, today is just going to be one of those days. Or, there was even one in the book, I have a book of a snake, snakes aren't my, aren't my thing at all. I don't like them one bit. But one day, I was I was at a friend's house and left the house. And normally, I take a lot of bird pictures, so I'm always looking up at the trees. So all of a sudden, I look up in the tree, and there's this, I don't know what it was. So I thought, let me go grab my camera and zoom in and see what it was. Well, sure enough, it was this huge snake that had just eaten something. I mean, it was like, oh, Lord. I mean, it was a wild picture. But at that moment, the minute I saw the snake, the first thing that popped into my mind was transformation, shedding the old skin, getting ready for something bigger. Boom, boom, boom. Those were the messages that kind of popped in. And
really?
I thought, well,
I'd be don't fall on me.
Oh, I was at a distance. Like I said, I had the focus. I had the zoom lens going. So, and now, whenever I'm in that neighborhood, I am very careful about going under the trees. But it's just that those messages, and I have like a personal Facebook page, and then I have my radio Facebook page, and I used to just post pictures on my personal one, and then one day I accidentally put it on the radio page, and I thought, oh my God, I put it on the wrong page, that's not really kind of what I was intending to do and put it out there, but several people liked it, and since that, and it's been going on now for probably about a year and a half or so, it's gotten to the point now where a lot of the friends come to the page just to see what photo I put on the day, to me that's great, and I've actually had a couple friends say that as a result of that, they're now looking at taking pictures kind of looking at messages too, so that's kind of nice to see other people recognize that what nature has to show us.
Are your pictures for sale? Or just in the photo book? Like,
no, I actually do have them for sale now. I actually, there's on my webpage, I have a link to a shopping mall. It's gotten to the point where it's like, okay, I've got all of these different things going on. I need to kind of put it together. So I have it, you know, a mall that has the books, linked to the books, and I've got three nature calendars this year, which I really love. Then I've got also a link to Shutterproof is the name of the company where you can post your photos for sale. You know, people can download them and purchase them at a very reasonable rate. So yeah, so I just, you know, so I got those there as well, and so it's, you know, it's kind of fun to be able to do that. I to me, you know, the picture can capture so much that words can't.
Yeah, how important is self-confidence to you? Random kind of self-confidence type question, huh? Because it seems like you do a lot of the things that you have to do. You have to root in self-confidence, and like I think we all do, remind ourselves often that it's rooted in self-confidence. What's your practice there regarding confidence and all that?
Well, you know, I would say that, you know, self-confidence is, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm, you know, right up there with, you know, having that mastered by any means. You know, that quite often, you know, doubt and that kind of thing pops in. But for me, like when it comes to the books and just the different things that I do it for the sake of the effort. You know, it's not, if you do something without expecting a particular result, then, you know, there's no question of confidence. It's like, this is what I'm going to do. Now, some people, you know, because to me, self-confidence is like, you know, without self-confidence, you don't try, you hesitate, you doubt, you know, those kinds of things that prevent you from doing something. So for me, if I can remove my expectation to a particular result, then there's no reason to question my confidence of what I'm doing. Or you know, and there will be judgment. I mean, it was in a Taylor Swift, there will be haters.
Haters
going to
hate it, yeah.
There you go. You know, and that's going to be there, and that's fine. You know, that's their world. It doesn't have to be mine.
And so I'm on your website, which everybody listening is bitradio.me. And did you take this picture at the top of it with the logo bringing inspiration to Earth? That's a really cool
picture.
Yes, I did. Yeah, all of your calendars, you have books, calendars. There's, we're just going to do a big website plug now. Cards, there's okay. Photos. I'm interested also in what your wellness store is. What made you do a wellness store?
Well, and that particular one is more like essential oils and personal care types of things. I just this last year really wanted to explore that the essential oil and the healing aspects and aromatherapy, you know, that aspect of, you know, those are things that I kind of had on the periphery for a few years, but I thought, okay, this year I'm going to dive into that, you know, and get to know, and it's been fun. I mean, I've really enjoyed learning about all of the different oils, using them. I do, you know, I have a little diffuser, so, you know, each morning I pick my little scent for the day, it's great. It just kind of sets the mood. I've got, you know, one of my favorite things is, I don't know if you know about anything about essential oils, but bergamot is is like a citrus oil. It's wonderful when you make iced tea for me. So I just love exploring. And a lot of the oils that are available through my wellness store are the kind that, you know, I mean, they can be, you know, that are ingestible in the sense that you can, you know, use them for cooking and that kind of stuff. So I just been exploring with that, and so anyway, it's a store. It's through doTERRA, so it's been fun. I'm you know, also kind of going out and chatting with people about it, and uh, so that's what that wellness is all about.
Are you surprised ever at the amount of care, self-care, self-compassion, to borrow some words from your blog, self-love and so forth, that men need as well as women? I really like, I've clicked on your blog here, and I just noticed right off the bat, self-care and self-compassion is not just for women in it. I know your show, this blog is about a guest you had, but as you do all the things that you're doing now for several years, are you, I don't know if I've got the right words for it, but people think stuff like this is just for women all the time, but guys need help too.
Yes, yes. That the archetype of the male and the female, the female being the compassionate, and the male being the aggressive, the energetic, to me they're just different energies, and there's, I've noticed there's just as women have found power in being able to express the masculine archetype, men have, historically been criticized for trying to, embrace the feminine, the nurturing aspect of life. And that's shifting, thank goodness. I think we're, everyone has a mix of them in varying degrees, but it is really important. And just real quick, I'm actually working on a new book right now that just came about within the last few weeks. It's going to be an anthology of stories of caregivers, but with a focus on the person for whom they cared. So it's going to be like a picture of them, the caregiver, and who they give care to, and the story about the person who they're giving care, what were the circumstances that required them to have care, and then for the caregiver to give their experience. And the stories right now, I've gotten stories right now strictly from women, and I just, and that my first thought was, okay, now where are the men in this? And I had a gentleman on my show yesterday, J.V. Crum, during the show. He mentioned that, he became, one point in his life, he became a caregiver for his father who had Parkinson's, and that as a caregiver, his experience had transformed him, and I thought, great, JV, I want you to be part of this book, but it was that aspect, because often when it comes to caregiving, the responsibility often falls on the females.
Right.
One story I had is from a woman who took care of her mother, but she had three brothers, and it was like, as the only daughter, I felt it my responsibility, and it's, men do need, we all need nurturing, we all should be able to express that without judgment.
As you are talking, I'm thinking of the doctor who contributed to Percolate, and her name is Dr. Katie Eastman, and she added a lot to Percolate. I wouldn't have a book without her, and I wonder if you might be interested in interviewing her for your book, because she is she was a caregiver for her mother here in Maine, and her story is amazing. And then also she owns Children's Palliative Care Community.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So she's on Twitter, Dr. Katie E. Just tell her I sent you, like you were on the radio and on the show. And
great.
She would be a wonderful addition to your book.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be great.
In both those regards.
That would be great. I will certainly contact her, yeah. And, one thing that really kind of was a seed for this was the LinkedIn article I did about Alzheimer's, but I want my book to kind of be wide ranging, not just the dementia, and which is a big part of today's environment,
right,
but also physical disability, just disease, whether it be parent, spouse, child, non-relative, whatever. It's a caregiver receiver relationship that's really important.
Good for you. That sounds like a wonderful book, a truly
Thanks.
Wonderful book. And that answered my next question also, which was what's next for you? So I noticed
jumped the gun
that,
there.
No, it's great. I'm so happy that you're doing that. You know, I noticed the other thing I noticed too is that you don't seem to have that competitive ego type of personality either, which is really neat because I think you're genuinely happy when somebody says, you know, your photos inspired me to pick up my camera, or your book inspired me to write my story, or you know, those types of things. Is that true?
Yes. You know, I really am not competitive in a sense. I really lean toward a cooperative type of
right.
view of things. And yeah, you see, I mean, and to me, the whole idea behind bringing inspiration to Earth is to be inspirational. And if you can have someone improve their, you know, fulfillment or quality of life by, you know, something they heard on the show or have seen on Facebook or read in the book, you know, that's great. I mean, to me, that's, you know, you're, again, like I use that ripple, you know, you're creating that little ripple out there where they can then in turn, you know, inspire others. And yeah, so, you know, to me, that's like the ultimate reward is having someone. And you know, I know there are a lot of people out there with, you know, like Facebook feeds is they're the only one who can post to their feed, and it's like it's all about them. And I'm not. I have, you know, quite a few people who contribute to the feed. I don't. The only time I kind of limit posts is if someone is constantly, you know, posting either negativity or it's just constant, not ongoing promotion. You know, to me, it's like, you know, there's more to life than just promoting your book or promoting yourself. It's like, you know, what other things are important?
I have a group out there, and I think it might be because I just don't feel like I have enough time every day to be. I personally don't even have enough time to be in my own group. <You know? laughs> And I'm noticing that more and more. I don't know whether to shut it down or what to do, but I'm noticing more and more the posts are all promotional. And
yeah.
I don't know quite what to do about it. I feel like I'm in this spot where it's like, you know, this is great, and I want to be able to promote what you're doing and your blogs and your thoughts. And they're all really good, high quality, it's awesome information, but the whole group has turned into all people are promoting is their brand and blog and radio show and this and that. But the intention behind it is more of discussion. And
right.
I keep hoping, I don't think it's going to work out this way without doing and taking action myself, probably, that, you know, somebody will be like question of the day or, you know, something other than, you know, just hope.
Yeah.
Tough, though, isn't it, with those groups?
Well, you know, it's I can understand that. And, you know, and you're right, it's good to be able, you know, to promote. And you know, for me, the way I do it is I just, you know, basically keep the connection but don't allow that particular posting. And you know, as a result, I mean, the people that I have now that do it, a lot of times they'll be posting other pictures or inspirational messages. You know, I don't have, you know, the people on there who post what they had for dinner, you know, and I'm going to bed.
Yeah, I know,
and,
it's a real mix,
you know?
Isn't it, what you get? Like, oh, man.
It's like, I don't care what time you go to bed, you know, and I really don't care what you had for dinner. But if you have some inspirational thought, though, I'm interested, so.
That's really funny. On your website, I noticed also that you have become a show sponsor. If someone wants to sponsor your radio show, what do they do?
Yeah,
I guess
they can click the sponsor link and become a show sponsor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's just something, you know, new. There have been a couple publicists who have asked me, you know, if they could be a show sponsor. And so I just put together a few packages, very, you know, inexpensive packages that really what I do is I promote the show and promote the author on, you know, media contacts and on a regular basis and just do a lot of cross promoting. So that's pretty much what it is. And then also offer them, if they want to have a 30 or 60 second commercial during the show, they can do that too. So there have been a few, not many. As a matter of fact, I had a a woman a couple of days ago who's going to be on my show in January. She's a dementia care specialist, and she asked me that. She said, "Now, do you have sponsors, or are you nonprofit?" I said, "Well, I try not to be nonprofit, but I do have packages available, you know, if you're interested." So.
.com. That's funny.
Exactly.
How much of your time do you spend reading? Because it really looks like you're one well-read individual.
Yes, that's I spend a lot of time reading. Actually, it's if I'm not doing a show and not writing or doing some of the other things, then I do a lot of reading. Yeah, I don't know. I can't say really the amount of time I spend. I don't, because it really varies. And quite often, I'll just be reading the books of upcoming guests. I really don't kind of go outside that, because there's just enough time for
enough
those.
Time in the day.
And I do have occasionally, you know, a book that isn't a show guest that I'm really interested in, but not every author provides me a review copy. So, you know, there's, even though I have, you know, a lot of authors on there, you know, I don't require them to send me a review copy, even though, you know, if they do, I do read it, because it's, first of all, you know, as an author yourself, you know how much better it is when you speak with a radio host who has read your book versus someone who hasn't. The quality of the discussion is just so much better. And I delight in being able to talk to an author and coming up with a question that they have never been asked before. It's like, oh, you know, in all the hundreds of interviews I've done, no one has ever asked me that before.
I like that, yeah.
Well, I do.
I thought one of the things we would do with you, if you want to, is I intended this show to be sort of an introductory call for everybody to get to know you in our audience if they're not already familiar with you. And then what I thought we would do is maybe do one or two more shows and do book interviews with you. Would you ever want to do something like that?
Oh,
we could really
absolutely
break down your book? I think that'd
absolutely
be better. I could not for the life of me figure out how to do all of that in one 1 hour show. But I thought we could put together some more shows that might teach people the lessons that are in your book. And anyway, let me know if you want to do that. And if you
absolutely,
know,
yes.
It won't be a year from now either,
would.
I promise. We'll get them scheduled. That was,
I truly believe in the divine timing. I don't even look twice at when those kinds of things happen. You know, it, to me, it's everything works out when it's supposed to. And, you know, because I've put out invites to people who don't respond for a long time, and it's like, that's fine. You know, I don't attach myself to a result, you know, so that when it happens, it's great. And, you know, even if it doesn't happen, that's okay too. I just don't, you know, a lot of people just really get, that's one of those things from the book, you know, the spirituality bites. It's like, you know, kind of divorce yourself from any expected outcome or any attachment to a particular result, you know, and if you do that, then you really kind of, you prevent a whole lot of worry, a whole lot of angst, a whole lot of frustration, and you just allow whatever to happen, you know, to unfold.
Isn't that hard to do sometimes?
Well,
and I mean that for people who, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were going to say for people
For people who don't have that practice, sometimes it takes hearing what you just said like 20 times before you even understand what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you live in that anxiety and that worry and that everything, to like separate yourself from an outcome so that you can sort of just be, that's hard to do.
Yeah, and the key word you used was practice. I mean, truly, I've gotten a lot of practice with it over the years. And it's gotten to the point now where it's a rarity when I find myself attached to something. And when I do, it's like, okay, remember what happened, you know, you just cut it out. You know better, you know, but it is, it's practice. And, you know, it's, I come from a family of worriers, and, you know, that was one of the hardest things for me to deprogram is to stop worrying about, you know, anything and everything. You know, what was going to happen, what might happen, what didn't happen, you know, or even what did happen, you know.
And how do you, just for anybody listening, we have a few minutes left here. What's one thing that somebody could do to put that practice in motion?
Well, I think the first thing is to become aware when you have a sense of anxiety, you know, that about anything in particular, you know. So if there's something that gets you, you get that bodily reaction of worry, that maybe the adrenaline kind of increases, the thoughts start going crazy, any kind of, you know, time when that happens, then just that's when you have to stop and take a break from that and recognize, kind of just look at it from a distance. Okay, what is it that I'm worried about? Oh, I'm worried about this is going to happen or this isn't going to happen. Is there anything you can do about alleviating that, you know, maybe some kind of action to help it? If there is, great, do it. If there isn't, then just let it go. Because if there's nothing that you can do about it, then there's really no sense to be worried or anxious. So it really, the whole process is first becoming aware of when something triggers you, triggers that anxious moment. And then rather than continuing the pattern of worry or angst or frustration or whatever, then step back and look at it, you know, as if someone was like looking at it from outside and say, okay, now what is it exactly that is creating this? And then, like I say, if you can take action, take action. If you can't, then just let it go. And it is hard. You know, letting go is probably one of the most difficult things that people can do. There's always a tendency to hold on. And even if you know that there's going to be a negative result or something because of past patterns, it's people a lot of times just fall into whatever is comfortable. I know that it's going to result in me being anxious, but I've been anxious before and I've handled it before. So, you know, being anxious is still okay, you know, rather than, you know, if I'm not anxious, oh, my God, then what am I going to do? You know, what's the appropriate response?
Well, I don't know. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a whole can of worms, isn't it? That worrying, anxiety,
yeah.
And sometimes the accompanying depression that goes with it on the flip swing, you know, on the other side mm-hmm. of it, if it's not in check, that's a doozy. But that's good advice right there. I think I hope somebody listens to that and it helps even just one person like we've been kind of talking about. But as we close out here, is there anything that I missed that you wanted to talk about before we go?
Not that I can think of. The only thing that, you know, I use in my little closing to my show is a saying that I like to kind of leave people with, and that is to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of the people you touch. So, you know, just be bright, you know, shine your light, inspire others, and, you know, inspire yourself.
Love it. And lift each other up. I'll add to it a little bit. Lift each other up.
Yeah. Percolate.
I love that.
Percolate.
Yeah, percolate. Well, when you said that, I smiled because I love that, you know, the bright light and the inspiration and the high energy and all that stuff. It makes the world a better place. So thank you very, very much for being with me today. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me on your show. And I'm glad you could be here today.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you very much for having me. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, I hope you'll come back on and we'll take your books and go through them, you know, maybe for like a half an hour at a time or something like that and really dig deep into them. I think that'd be really cool. I don't know how we'll do the picture book, but we'll do the other two. How's that sound?
That's great. Thank you very
picture
much.
Book,
I appreciate
know.
That. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. For everybody listening, That was Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. His website is biteradio.me, and I hope you'll go there. Check it out. Lots of great information there. Robert has a wonderful radio show also on Blog Talk Radio. And just a wonderful guest, lots of information. He's written 3 books, and check out his website. And I hope you'll follow him and listen to him to his show, and I'll let you know when he comes back on. So thanks, everybody, for listening today. I hope you have a wonderful day, and please visit us at besteveryou.com. We appreciate you listening. Take care.